Our scripture reading for today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, and verses 36 to 43. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 to 43. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Good morning, church. Our theme for this year's preaching calendar is living with the end in mind. So most of our sermons this year have been planned with this theme. Now, if there's one thing that COVID-19 has highlighted for us, it would be the brevity, the fragility of life. Now, of course, in a way, the pandemic should not be a surprise to us. We see in Luke chapter 21, verse 11, that Jesus has already warned us of such pestilence before his return. And even though we are not called to predict the time of Christ's return, there are many parables where Jesus encourages the believers with the hope of his return and reminds us that we must always be ready for that return. And what does it mean to be ready? How should we live our lives today in hope of eternity? Now, the book of Matthew has much to teach us about Christ's return and how to live with this end in mind. The book of Matthew can be grouped into five discourses or five sections of Jesus' teaching. Now, last year, we focused on his teaching on discipleship as we went through the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. And in our cell groups, we also had our Bible studies on these teachings. So starting today till April, we will look into two other sections in Matthew, the parables, and then the teachings on the end times and Christ's return. So these parables and the teachings of Jesus' return should challenge us in our faith and encourage us in hard times. So church, as we consider living with the end in mind, may the hope of Christ's return spur us in our faith and service to the Lord. Amen? You can respond. By the way, it's great to be here and see so many people here. Before I continue, let us pray. God, as we come into your presence this morning, as we look into your word, May you guard our hearts, our minds, our souls. Let your word dwell and take root in us, and scatter what is not from you, so that we can continue to grow in faith and maturity, and indeed, in our conversations, in our dialogue with one another, influence one another towards Christ-likeness. Be with us, Lord, this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is a picture. Okay, just want to check. Oh, okay, this is a picture of the garden that's actually right outside the church. You know, you can't miss it, even though nowadays most of you will come in from the side gate. All of you actually come in from the side gate. You will see it right before you come into the church building. And very often it is actually vibrant with different flowers, plants, and even fruit trees. I clearly remember a time where there were beautiful sunflowers, and even right now there are papayas. I don't really like papayas, but the sight of the fruit tree is actually quite inspiring to see it growing so bountifully. Now, but the gardener, the uncle there, he works really hard on the garden. You know, he's there almost every day, you know, watering the plants, fertilizing the soil, removing the weeds. Now, I am no gardener, I don't have green fingers, but even I know weeds should be removed. Weeds should be removed to help the other plants grow. Weeds are basically any unwanted plants that grows near or beside the plants you actually want. So if you are growing sunflowers and suddenly there's roses growing, actually the rose will be considered a kind of weed. So to keep them there is actually to deny nutrients and space for the plant that you really want to grow. Weeds are perhaps also like the thorns in the earlier parable in the book of Matthew, the parable of the sower, the thorns that deny and kills the good seed, the plant that we actually want. Now, in our passage today, we have the parable of the weed. And interestingly, Jesus says something that is quite different with regards to the weeds. So let us look into the first point in my outline, the kingdom of heaven. Now, as you read through the book of Matthew, you would find that Matthew is unique in writing about the kingdom of God. Matthew does not actually use the term the kingdom of God. Instead, unlike the other gospel, he uses the phrase the kingdom of heaven. Now, most commentary, those that I have read, actually says it is very likely because of his sensitivity to his target audience, which is the Jews. The Jews who will read his gospel is directed to the Jews. And the Jews do not usually use the term God out of obedience to the commandments. If you look into history, they will talk about God as Adonai, Elohim, which will be translated into Lord. But they wouldn't actually say God because of what they hold on to in the commandments. You shall not use the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. So Matthew likely used the kingdom of heaven because of his sensitivity to the readers. And in writing this gospel, Matthew wants the readers to know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, and he is from the line of David. And that can be seen through the genealogy recorded in Matthew chapter 1 that connects Jesus to David the king and then also to Abraham. So to the Jewish readers, they would understand that Jesus is therefore connected to the covenantal promises God has made with David and Abraham. The blessings would come through Jesus. The promised kingdom would come through Jesus, who Matthew calls the Son of David. So in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist begins preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John prepares the way for the Lord as a forerunner of his kingdom message. Now this is the first occurrence of the phrase, the kingdom of heaven. And when it occurs again, it is Jesus who says it, and as he begins his ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And from this point onward, Jesus begins teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So Jesus kind of became famous. He became famous among the people. Great crowds began to follow him. And as we learned last year from the Sermon on the Mount and the following chapters, we see Jesus teaching about how to live in God's kingdom. So the key message of Jesus is the kingdom of God, or as Matthew says, the kingdom of heaven. It is the good news. It is the gospel of God's kingdom coming to the people through Jesus. It is the gospel, the good news of God's kingdom coming to the people through Jesus. But it is hard. You know, the Sermon on the Mount is hard. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the ones who are persecuted, the ones who are reviled and hated because of Christ. It is hard. It is hard to be like them. You know, to a drug addict, poor in spirit, what can he do to turn his life around? Is there anything he can do on his own? To a widow who mourns over the passing of her husband, what comfort can she find? Where is righteousness and mercy? You know, when a young man is being bullied and pushed around at school or at work, where are the peacemakers in this world? You know, sometimes the world just does not seem congruent with Jesus' teaching. What we experience in life, you know, does not appear to match what we read and hear from the Word of God. Why? What is happening? Where is the kingdom of heaven? If it is near, or if it is already here, why is there still evil? Why is there still suffering around us? In our passage today, Jesus tells this parable to help us understand why evil and suffering still exist, as the kingdom of heaven is near. I will not read through the parable again, since I've read it earlier. And I think we can give thanks because we don't have to guess, we don't have to do extensive research on what Jesus is saying, because he explains it to us. You know, he says the kingdom of heaven may be compared to this and this. And in the following parables, he continues to say the kingdom of heaven is like such and such. So all the parables in Matthew chapter 13, including this one, is meant to teach on the kingdom of heaven. And the explanation, the meaning of today's parable is given in Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 to 43, which leads me to my second point in the outline. After leaving the crowd, Jesus and the disciples went into the house. Then the disciples said to Jesus, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." And so Jesus answers the disciples, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." So this gives us the identity of the sower in this parable. And if you were to look back at verse 24, you would see that the man who sowed good seed is the owner of the field. Is the owner of the field. Then Jesus says in verse 38, "The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one." So there are three things identified in this verse. You know, first, the field is the world, and the field belongs to the sower, which means this world belongs to the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Jesus uses this title at least 84 times in the Gospels. And he always uses it to refer to himself, the Son of Man. So Jesus is the Son of Man. He is the owner of the field. He is the owner of this world. In this parable, Jesus has declared, "This whole world is mine. This whole world belongs to God." So the second thing identified is the good seed, which is the sons of the kingdom. These are the people who live under the rule of God, repenting of their sin, and submitting to the King. These are the believers, these are the followers of Christ. And then the third thing identified are the weeds, the sons of the evil one, who are the enemy of the king. These are the people who refuses to listen to God, who refuses to follow Jesus, who refuses to repent of their sin. So three things. Now a quick summary can be said that this world belongs to Jesus, and in this world, there will be two kinds of people are living together, the good and the evil. Those who believe and follow God's rule, and those who do not. The world belongs to God, and in this world, we will have two kinds of people, the good and the evil. Next, I move to this question from verse 27. If you have a Bible with you, you can take a look. You can look at the verse here. A question from the servants to the master. Master, do you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? Now, Jesus does not explain this part of the parable, not directly, but we see from the parable that the owner of the field knows exactly what is happening. An enemy has done this. Jesus knows what is happening. And Jesus has allowed it to happen. Jesus knows that this world is full of sin and sinners, and that evil exists, even as the kingdom of heaven is near. But why? If Jesus is almighty, if God is holy and he demands holiness, why would Jesus permit evil to remain in this field, in this world? Why? Now, the answer can be surprising. It might surprise you. But Jesus allows evil, allows the sons of the evil one to remain because of his love. Because of his love for all that he has created, including you and I. It is for you, for me. It is for our sake that evil remains. In verse 28, the disciples said to the master of the house, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" The master answers, "No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest." Let both grow together until the harvest. Evil is allowed to remain, even grow. Because if Jesus judged the world right now, many would perish, including some of our loved ones. We cannot just think of evil as an extreme. Murderers, abusers, bullies. The sons of the evil one includes anyone who refuses to put Jesus on the throne of their lives. Anyone who refuses to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and to repent of their sin. I know that could very well include us. But Jesus will not allow evil to remain forever. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. At the end of the age, the weeds, the son of the evil one, will be gathered out of the kingdom. All causes of sin and all lawbreakers will be separated and gathered. Then they will be thrown into the fiery furnace to be burned. Now the end of the age has not arrived. The day of judgment is not here, not yet. Right now we are still living under God's grace. We are still living, covered by the blood of Christ, granted that grace to live. And until Christ comes again to judge the world, the kingdom of heaven will look like this. Where good seeds are sowed, but there will also be weeds in the field sowed by the enemy. And just as there are bad things, just as there are good things happening in the world today, there are also bad things happening. Now, of course, we hear of great crowds, people coming to Christ, but we also hear of great persecution of the church. We hear of people accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you know, after they attend Alpha or at Christian meetings. But we also hear of people who have left the church, who have left the faith. There are news of people doing good things, donating financially, possession, materials, good people adopting orphans, caring for the needy. But we also have news of scammers, kidnappers, child abusers, slavery of the poor and needy. Now, we cannot look at the world and say that because Christ is coming, the world is going to get better and better and better. Both good and evil continues to grow in the world today. But take heart, for Jesus will send his angels on the day of judgment. For now, the work of the servants, the work of the sons of the kingdom, is simply to live and grow in this world. To grow well, to grow abundantly as wheat among the weeds. To continue to do what God has called us to do. And my third point, live as wheat among the weeds. What does it look like for us to do that? Well, the wheat comes from the good seed sowed by the Son of Man. That means we are to live as sons of the kingdom, children of the kingdom. We are to live under God's rule, to be obedient to Christ's teachings, to be led by the Spirit of God in all that we do. Amen? And we are to live in this world that is filled with sin, that is still occupied by the sons, the children of the evil one, those who refuse to admit the sin in their lives, who refuses to repent, who refuses to return to God. We will have to live with such people around us. Perhaps in your mind, you know, in your memory, in your encounter, daily encounter in the past week, you actually have a list of names of people, image of people who you think are children of the evil one. As you read the news, as you read about certain things, encounter certain people, you think, this must be the children of the evil one. Then I'll say the first thing to learn from this parable is that in the kingdom of heaven, we are not called to play judge. If you remember the servants who wanted to gather up the weeds, I think that's what we all want to do when we see weeds in the gardens, even in our small potted plants. You know, if you see weeds, you want to quickly remove them. You want to pull them out, you know, get a fork or something, do something. But I think it's also a reminder. It reminds me of what James and John wanted to do in Luke chapter 9. You know, when they saw that the Samaritans had rejected Jesus, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" Now, if we could pray and God would send fire to destroy the weeds in our gardens, the evil in this world, I think many of us would be deep in prayer. But Jesus rebuked James and John. Brothers and sisters, it is not our role, it is not our place to play judge. When it is time for judgment, Jesus will do it. And he will do it without our help. Now, definitely there are times where we will have to speak out, we will have to confront evil, confront sin. We cannot keep silent about it. But we are called to share Christ, to share the good news of salvation. We are not called to condemn. John chapter 3, verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." So when confronting sin, let us speak with love and compassion, and never out of spite, never out of self-righteousness. As I read a commentary, this commentary on Matthew by J.C. Ryles, he quotes St. Augustine, who said, "Those who are weeds today may be wheat tomorrow. Those who are weeds today may be wheat tomorrow. Those who refuse to call Jesus as Lord today, may tomorrow enthrone Jesus as King in their lives. I think many of us can testify to that. For we were once considered weeds in the field, and now we are sons of the kingdom. If the day of judgment, if the end of the age had happened when I was in primary school, in sec 1, sec 2, I would have perished. But thanks be to God, we continue to live in a time of grace. Now the parable of the weeds is also translated as the parable of the tares, you know, in other translation. And I learned that the tares or weeds in this parable were likely a plant called darnel. Now, if you take a look at the picture here, you know, for us untrained, you will probably look the same. But one is wheat and the other is tares, darnel. And until birth are fully ripe, they appear almost exactly the same. So for the farmers during Jesus' time, they had to wait till the harvest. Only then can the tares be separated and burned. Today, with modern technology, they are able to separate them earlier. But back in those days, it is a real situation. In fact, I read that there's a Roman law in those days that it is against the law to plant darnel into your enemy's field. You know, out of spite, you know, I don't like this person, so I'm going to plant this plant. It's against the law. Now today we have false teachers, false believers who lead people astray. You know, they may have the appearance of a good Christian, but their ungodly behavior actually pushes people away from the true gospel of God. And Jesus warns in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, that there will be those who call him Lord, Lord, but really do not know him. There are also those that have not known him yet, but will be drawn to his presence in time. So as we look at evil, as we look at sin in this world, let us not be judgmental, but be loving, be discerning as we face the world. I think another learning point for us as children of the kingdom is that we should not be discouraged as we see evil in this world. We must not be disheartened. Instead, we should be encouraged as we read this parable. Because one day, evil will be removed. The Son of Man will weed out from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who breaks his law. And our hearts should be stirred, because this parable tells us we are now living in a time of grace. God has held back judgment so that we can continue to sow good seed, share the gospel, and bring others to salvation in Christ, bringing others from being weeds in the field to be wheat for the Lord. Our focus should not remain on the evil around us, but on the love and grace of God that is upon us and in us. Wait for the Lord, wait for the harvest. Now, some of you listening today might not believe in Jesus, or you are finding it difficult to trust him wholeheartedly. Then the warning from the parable is this, from verses 40 to 42. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All of us came into this world as sons of the evil one. You know, we bear sin in us from birth. Romans 5, verse 12 reminds us, For sin came into this world through one man, through Adam. When we went through the book of Genesis, we learned sin came into the world through one man, through Adam. But the gospel is the good news that Jesus died on the cross. He suffered on our behalf. And because he took our sins and punishment, we can become sons and daughters of God's kingdom. Salvation is by grace through faith. You know, by grace, God has held back judgment on us. You just have to respond in faith. To surrender to the Lord, to admit to your sin, and invite Jesus to be Lord and King in your life. Respond in faith and believe that you can change from being a child of the evil one to a child of God's kingdom. Of course, if you want to know more, to learn more, you can talk to someone. You know, to the person who invited you to church today, to the people sitting near you, or even come and speak to me before you leave. For those of us who believe and call Jesus our Lord and King, hear the wonderful promise in verse 43. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. God will harvest the wheat when the time is right, and he will bring his children home. And the righteous will shine like the sun as the unrighteous are removed. When we look at the world and all of its unrighteousness, it can seem dark. But when God removes the unrighteous, indeed, we will shine like the sun. On the day of the harvest, may you be found gathered together with the sons of the kingdom. May you be found gathered into the master's barn, into the Lord's house, where we can rejoice, sing praise and worship, as we stand before God, our Father, our King. I pray that you will take some time today, this week, to consider and reflect on your life. How ready are you for the time of harvest? And as we live in this time of grace, who can you be sharing the gospel with this week? Who can you be sharing the gospel with this week? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, your living word that continues to live and to speak in our lives. I thank you for reminding us that in this world, we will have trouble, we will have bad things and experience evil. But Lord, you are sovereign and you have defeated sin and death. As we surrender and acknowledge you as our Lord, our King, we know that we are joined in victory with you. As we live our lives under your mercy and grace, teach us, lead us, empower us to be children of your kingdom, to be obedient to your word, and to be holy, because you are holy. May we all be found as wheat at the time of the harvest. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.